Good afternoon. We can officially call the meeting to order of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. Stephanie, could you call the roll, please?
Astrid Bergson. Island Danovy. Bill Gleason. Susan Fowler. Dolores Henry.
Here.
Mike McClellan. Tom Moore. Julian Rappaport. Deborah Townsend.
Okay, do we have any citizen input? Okay, then we'll move down to CCDB information. Peter?
The CCDDB met this morning, and at the table here, I want to introduce Deb Rusch, who is our new board member, and she's with us tonight because, as you know, we are going to have sort of a discussion about the RFP, probably within the context of this meeting because we have a potential Open Meetings Act issue. So we're not going to adjourn this meeting. We're going to have the conversation during the meeting as part of this meeting just to make sure that we're extra safe. The DD board met this morning. And they approved an item that is on the agenda for today, and that is the anti-stigma effort with the Roger Ebert Film Festival, just to let you know that. And they also elected officers. The new president of the Developmental Disability Board is Sue Suter, and the secretary is Mike Smith. Other than that, we'll be talking about the RFP later.
Thanks. At this time, I need a motion and a second to approve the minutes from our June 11, 2014 board meeting. It's been moved and second. Does anybody have questions or corrections to make to the minutes? Okay, looks like there's nothing. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So the minutes are approved. I don't have any president comments tonight. Peter, do you have some comments?
Just a couple. This item, there's an item that, a document that is related to the CMS rule, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services. Final rule for home and community-based services, and I want people to be aware that there are, you know, some significant. I think most people are aware that there are significant changes that are coming. But this, gentleman who put this together is Dan Oler, and it's a summary. He reviewed the rule, and he previously had been the head of the state of Ohio, all of the developmental disability boards in the state of Ohio. And now works for a managed care company, but he's a nationally known expert on IDDD issues and policy. So he reviewed the rule, and these are his thoughts about the changes in the rule and how they're going to impact on the system. And as you know, Medicaid will pretty much drive the direction of actually all of the disability areas that we're responsible for. And In addition to reviewing the rule, he talked to several people that are with CMS. That are one is the Ralph Lawler, I think it's Lawler, who is the director of long-term services and supports with CMS, and also Pat Noby. I think that I will refer to you. I'm not going to read this to you, but if you look at the third paragraph down, one of the things that is stated in here, and I think this is the key issue, and it has to do with the issue of segregated versus integrated services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And basically he says that the expectation is CMS expects states to ensure that people with developmental disabilities have the same level of access to community as people that do not have a developmental disability. And the access that they're talking about applies to all facets of life. Living arrangements, work, recreation, medical care, everything that individuals do related to the community. So, you know, it's important to see this. We're looking at about a two-year implementation, according to him. Some people think that the more backward states, such as Illinois, are likely to have, they'll give them a little leeway and make it more like 5 years. That remains to be seen. So that's it.
Thank you. The next item are the staff reports. Mark and Tracy have written reports, and then Lynn, do you have a verbal report?
Yes, I apologize for not having a written report. I had to leave town before I finished writing it. So what it would have said is we've been doing lots of site visits, Stephanie and I, of the DD programs, and those are going very well. We have a few left to do, but I think everybody but one is scheduled. Contract negotiations are completed. I think all of the contracts have, with relation to DD services, have been returned and signed and processed now. Everything related to DD had to have some revision, and those are still coming in. So I'm checking those and still having some dialogue with the agency providers. That's been a fairly positive process. A couple weeks ago, I chaired the DD committee of ACMI, and on that call, we had Robin Jones, who's the co-chair of the Employment First Task Force, as a presenter, and we had a very interesting discussion, and hopefully allowing ACMI to become more involved with the work of the task force. We'll see. I think that's it.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Mark and Tracy, would you like to add anything?
I have a couple things.
Okay.
I've got a 2.5-page report. If there's anything else I need to say, it would have been in there. Unless somebody has questions, I'm good. Yeah.
All right, I'll be brief as I can. A few things. One, each Wednesday, at 2 p.m. on WBCP Radio, we host a weekly talk show. And we focus on mental health related issues, but it's a community talk show. And Governor Quinn is going to be in town Friday for some other political things that don't involve us. But we were able to get an audience with him, so we're going to have a special Access Live is what we call the show, from 4 to 5 Friday, WBCP Radio, 1580 AM. I would suggest the stream is a better way of listening. AM radio is tough, a low wattage station. And so we'll have an audience with him, an hour, and it's a Q&A call-in. So please want to encourage you to listen. If you've got a question that you want us to get on the agenda, please email me by the morning, and I'll get it. Imani Bazell hosts the show for us, so I'll get that to Imani to make sure we get the question asked. So I wanted to share that. Chandra is here today. She has been doing some community trainings about new and updated cultural competency standards. So I know she has another training on the 31st. We've been having those, I think she said two. This will be the third. We've mostly had an audience with mental health agencies in the community. I do know that the State Board of Education is coming in for this training, so they've heard about it from somewhere and called to come, so we're excited to have them here. So wanted to share that with the board. I passed out fresh off the press today. We are so excited about the work we're doing with our family-run organization. We are starting to serve and support families, and really, Regina's doing a great job of putting the infrastructure together for our organization. Almost everyone involved in the organization is a person of experience. Lived experience is what she likes to talk about. And we've got a fantastic board that is made up of family members, professionals, but they have lived experience. So we want to really beef up our work around peer support for families with children with mental health issues and DD issues and the whole bit. So I'd like to ask Dolores if maybe in the fall sometime we could have folks from the Alliance come out and I should say the Youth and Family Alliance to differentiate from the Alliance that's been, yeah. So, but I wanted to make sure that the board had this. And then the last thing I wanted to just make sure the board was aware, you know, all of us have read and heard about the rise in the community shootings and violence again. Usually when those things are taking place, I personally have quite a bit of involvement. So whether it's talking with the police about strategy, whether it's talking with the city leadership folks about solutions and how to address and all those types of things. This time, we've added some trauma-related work. You know, it really was apparent the how traumatizing the shooting was at 6 o'clock in the evening in the Garden Hills area. So we organized our staff along with Community Elements, Crisis Team, and a few other organizations. We were there for counseling. We didn't get very much involvement. It's the first time we've done it. But we want to look at how we make ourselves accessible to the neighborhood folks and the residents when these types of incidents are occurring. It really was quite alarming, as if these last two shootings have taken place, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, middle of the day, people were out, and they're just shooting in. So it's a new level of awareness, concern, and so we will have, and I will personally have, a lot of involvement as we just move forward. So I just wanted the board to know that Access Mental Health Board is playing a role as we look for solutions to this troubling situation for us. So,
thanks, Tracy. I thought it was a good idea to involve the church, the faith-based church.
I should have added that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was good. Okay, any questions for Tracy, Mark, or Lynn? Okay, then we'll move on. Do we have any board-to-board reports? Okay. Do we have any agency reports?
Hi, I'm Jennifer Knapp from Community Choices, and you fund us on the DD side of things. Just want to let you know that we have put a team together to do something called the Supportive Housing Institute. So it'll be held in Springfield. Supportive housing is a housing model that's traditionally been used for people with mental illness and people who are homeless. And so they're just trying to start figuring out how to use it for people with developmental disabilities. So it's going to be 10 days of learning over the course of 4 months. So we'll keep you updated as we learn more, but hoping it can really be an alternative housing model for people with developmental disabilities where they live in their own apartment or home. And with the services. So just want to let you know that that will be happening and we'll keep you posted.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Hi, Dale Morrissey with DSC. Just wanted to, this morning did the same thing with the other board, just acknowledge, you know, we're past the funding cycle, and just to thank you for your support. We know you had some tough funding decisions, and there's never enough money to meet the need, but wanted to recognize that's a very difficult task, and as we move forward, we appreciate your support. We shared that this morning again that DSC's did pass a budget in June. We do have a significant issue. We're right now about 400,000 deficit, and we're going to over the next few months, we're going to work to try to help outline plans, because we can't live with that, of course, but we needed to get a budget on the books, and we're going to work through that, and we'll work with Peter to keep him informed and talk about how we can work our way through that. And again, I don't have any clue of how that affects programs or facilities or things like that. Our board started working on that in the last 45 days, and we'll continue to work through that. And so we'll keep you informed as we go through the next few months. And the other thing is, Peter talked a lot about this morning, is the we're very involved. I attended a thing on the new home and community-based services rule, that and the new Workforce Investment Act that's been passed. And with Employment First, there's a lot of changes that are going to go on. And again, Peter and I are exchanging a lot of information, and that's going to impact a lot of our services significantly over the next months and years. And we of course, the major concern, as we always talk about, is the state, the position the state of Illinois is in. We're so far behind everybody else. My concern is that we're not going to be able to meet those unless that's recognized, and that not just, and I don't mean just DSC, I just mean as a system of care. I don't think you have enough money or the Developmental Disability Board to, you know, to help us address all those issues if we don't try to help work through that. And so we have many challenges, and we look forward to with working with you and your staff to get through those. So thank you.
Thanks, Dale. Would anyone else like to have a comment or two? Okay. Now we need to accept the financial claims report. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move that we accept it.
It's been moved and second that we accept the claims report. Is there any comment about it? Questions? Okay. Then all in favor say aye. Opposed? Nay. Okay, then we accepted it. Now we move on to new business, which is our budget for 2015. Peter, would you like to sure. lead that discussion?
Just to remind you where we are in the sequence of the budget, and when you're in government, budget is a year-round thing. We're presenting, this is the budget that's attached to that cover memo, is our proposed budget for this year. We're going to be meeting with Deb Busey next week to review this, plus the narrative that we're required to do for the county board. And then normally what happens is after we meet with Deb and Van, we will make adjustments, or, you know, they typically have some suggestions for us. And then we will go before the county board at the end of August, and at that point, we will present our budgets to the county board. And then hopefully they will approve the budgets. That normally happens, I think, in November. It might be a little different this year, but I'm not sure. But then that allows us then to... we're then authorized to spend the money. For transparency purposes, we have a copy of the Developmental Disabilities Board budget also, so that you can kind of see that. That's part of the agreement between the two boards. Related to transparency, I wanted to comment that I forgot to mention this morning that the Developmental Disabilities Board has decided to meet at the same day, the Wednesday that we normally meet, but the meeting will occur following the Mental Health Board meeting. And this was a suggestion from several county board members. Patsy Petrie was one of the people that suggested that, since this year we seem to have some discussion about how maybe there needed to be better communication between the two boards, we thought it might be better than to have those board meetings sort of back-to-back, so that there was an opportunity to kind of hear what was going on and if necessary, provide direct input. So we're going to start that in September. And so I'm looking forward to that anyway.
So about 6 o'clock.
Yeah, about 6 o'clock. So that means that the Mental Health Board needs to wrap up its business in time for that. I actually went out on the limb and guaranteed that we would be done by 6 o'clock. So, so anyway, that's so this is the budget that's being proposed. Normally, what we do after I meet with Deb, we bring back to the September meeting the final budget, including the narrative for you. And typically, the numbers don't change much, but the narrative is a little bit different. So we need a motion and a discussion.
We need a motion and a second to approve the 2015 budget. Been moved in second. Now we can have questions, comments, whatever. Deb?
Who establishes the office rental amount? I mean, I'm sure it has nothing to do with WEDOG, of course, but does Deb Busey do that?
Yes, we rent from the county. Uh-huh. And Deb Busey or whoever her staff, right. But whoever, they set the rent and it's a negotiation, we agree to it. Well, that's also because we have that extra space we're assuming the space where Access Initiative is, and they actually gave us a very good deal on that space. So I'm looking at it as a bargain because we really are in a position where we don't really have a lot of extra space for anything at this point. So, and the county has been very kind to us, I think.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Okay, then I will have a roll call vote. Stephanie?
Alan Anime?
Yes.
Bill Gleason?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Mike McClellan?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Bergson?
Yes.
Okay, now, I'm not sure. We have a letter from the UP Center of Champaign County, but I'm not sure if we have to do anything about that, Peter.
This is just for information. The UP Center, are you here to talk about?
Well, I'm the board president at the UP Center, so if there are any questions, I'm here.
Yeah, where we are is we did not fund the UP Center this past year. And so they sent us a letter that we said that we would bring back to the board, where they were asking if we have a situation where we have any kind of excess revenue, if we would consider continuing the funding. And so that's why we're, the other thing was that at the last meeting in May, we did have someone speak and things kind of, the meeting got long and we didn't really get a chance to have a full discussion about that. So do you have anything you want to add to that then?
I mean, I'd certainly be happy just to tell you for a minute why this funding has been so important to us. Specifically, we've had funding for the last two fiscal years for our youth program. And the UP Center provides the only youth services for LGBTQ youth in all of Central Illinois. We serve all of Champaign County, and we provide support groups, crisis intervention, and a safe space for LGBTQ youth. We work with their families and schools and help refer to other services. And one thing we've been able to do with the support of the Mental Health Board is to provide a paid trained staff member as a specific youth support. And without this funding, we're not going to be able to maintain that staff member. And it's just a concern for us that we're the only ones who are able to provide this service right now. And so we certainly understand the limited availability of funding, but we did want to make the board aware that if there were any excess revenue, even a small amount can make a big difference for our very small organization, and we just appreciate you considering that.
Thank you. How are you connected with the statewide initiative?
The Safe Schools Alliance, or?
Isn't there a statewide initiative for kids who or maybe lesbian or gay or transgender?
Sure. There are a number of different organizations and initiatives addressing LGBTQ youth generally. We are an independent nonprofit operating as a community center, so we're not directly connected with any other initiatives. We work collaboratively with a number of organizations, including the local and state branches of the Safe Schools Alliance, but we're independent.
So within the schools themselves, they have big programs, is this an avenue where the young folks that you were serving could find some respite and some counseling, like in the high schools in Champaign-Urbana?
We're aiming for middle school and high school youth as our constituency. Typically, the schools themselves only provide gay-straight alliances, which tend to be an optional after-school activity, mostly social-based, and not necessarily reaching other youth. So what we were providing, yes, was a space and supportive adults who could provide resources, information, and general support for youth who might be struggling at home, in school, or in all kinds of other contexts.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I know on a personal basis that they have a very good psychologist at Centennial who does a lot of counseling in this area.
Sure.
So maybe in the meantime, that would be good to talk to Dr. Laura Taylor and see if the school couldn't, like, fill in some of this space. They have great counselors and social workers who are very willing to be involved.
One of the things we've heard from the youth we work with, and we get youth coming from a number of surrounding rural areas where there are no other resources, as far as Decatur and Bloomington, and certainly areas like Philo and Tolono and Rantoul. But one thing we hear consistently from youth is that one of the most important things for them is having a safe space where they're interacting with other kids who they see as being like them. And that's one of the challenges of the school setting, is that some children aren't comfortable being out in that setting. Or even if they have a supportive teacher or counselor, it's not necessarily a group context. So one of the things we've seen as a real strength of our program is that it's very interactive, and that specifically peer-led, the youth themselves generate the kinds of topics they'd like to explore. So that's why we'd like to see it continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, if we were to want to do this, how would we go about it?
If we have any excess funding, like leftover.
Right.
Yeah.
Our next board meeting is September 17th, after tonight. Mm-hmm. We should be able to tell you where we stand, and then we can include that as an agenda item so that if the board wants to, they can take action.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Now, we have another action, anti-stigma community event. So, Peter?
Okay. Lynn, are you going to be prepared to talk a little bit about this, too? Okay. Just this, as I said, the Developmental Disabilities Board has already passed their share of this. I think that... We actually had someone show up this morning that had a movie in mind that they were suggesting, a movie about a young man with Down syndrome who was worked in the produce department. But I think that the main thing is that we have a good established record with the Roger Ebert Film Festival. It's been a good vehicle for promoting inclusion and respect and dignity. Last year, I thought that the panel discussion that was led by Julian Rappaport was really excellent, and it was we had a really nice turnout for that too. So, at this point, I think that this has worked very well, and we need to kind of continue it. Lynn, you want to talk a little bit about the art stuff that was going on too?
Well, I can also say that the film is interesting. I looked at it. I forwarded you. You can see it at iamproduce.com. There's a trailer for that. So I forwarded it to you and also to Mary Susan Britt. Just, here's a suggestion. It's an independent film. It's won an award, I think, at Dallas International Film Festival or something like that. So there's some credibility there. Maybe it would be of interest to them. The Down Syndrome Network is actually planning on screening it at some point in the spring. And I've had my eye on the Down Syndrome Network for a little while anyway, because they do the ramp up of their anti-stigma activities is also in the spring, March and April. So, we could partner with them. We just haven't done that yet. And so this might be a really great opportunity to do that, especially because each year we gain a little bit of ground. And this last season, I think the most important things that we saw, we have a little bit more access to planning, like with the with our panel and also with input into the films. But interestingly, on the side, our artists seem to have just, you know, suddenly been invited into some real to fully integrated venues for showing their art. And one is just, it's ongoing throughout the year. So that's pretty neat. And I think that might, we might just really put the emphasis on that and not so much on an art show targeting the, you know, targeting the film goers. We might just keep our people out in the community year round. So maybe we go back to some kind of community film screening in conjunction with Down syndrome. But
Just for your information, I managed to get some a mention of the Mental Health Board and the Alliance in a I had an opportunity, so I took it to write a review for the American Psychological Association's book review journal. They sometimes review films, so I asked them if they'd be interested in a review of Short Term 12, and they said yes, so I managed to get in there and explain how it was supported here by the Coalition and the Alliance, and I used the right names and things. So we got a little mention in this national review journal, which is an online journal, but it gets around pretty much. I'll send you a copy of what I wrote. But.
Thank you, Dr. Rappaport. Okay, any other comments? I would love, I love your suggestion, but given some of the issues in this community, if we could find a film that would kind of dovetail with what we're doing with Tracy and the Access folks, that would be, maybe we could have two short ones. Okay, now.
Oh, one other thing.
What? Michael has a comment.
I'm sorry.
Turn on the mic.
Do it,
Astrid. No, it's on.
It was a made for HBO movie, but I remain fascinated by the movie about that young lady whose name just flew away.
Temple Grandin.
Temple Grandin. Marvelous performance, among other things, but it made me see things in a different way. I mean, it was, I think, a very successful effort to sort of, in essence, diagram the way the mind of this individual and supposedly many people affected by autism, the way it works, and they analyze things, and it works for them and produces very good results. And I don't know that there's anyone in the world who could have surpassed what she has done, but what she has done is remarkable. So I'd like to have that at least thrown into the discussion with Ms. Ebert and go from there.
Well, thanks. Well, you have your work cut out for you, Lynn.
That's really fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that.
Okay, now, any other comments? We need Peter?
Lynn didn't mention, but we talked to the Ebertfest folks about the possibility of groups of school children putting together videos that could be screened during the intermissions.
Just one.
Just one, just, right.
Yeah,
I mean, we were thinking about like a contest. Mm-hmm. And they said in the past they've kind of vetoed that idea, but they were open to it this year. Mm-hmm. And so This kind of goes back to the video that was produced by the Central and Centennial High School mm-hmm. students that was really presented a good message, and so we're hopeful that that might be another opportunity.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, we need a motion and a second to approve the anti-stigma community event. And it's a roll call vote. I need a motion and a second.
Second.
has been moved in second. Will you call the roll, Stephanie?
Bill Gleason?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Mike McClellan?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Bergson?
Yes.
Eileen Danaby?
Yes.
Thank you. It's been approved. Now, the item D is a draft meeting schedule. Did everybody get to look at that? Do you have any comments or changes about the schedule going forward? It's on 12D in the back of the packet. And as Peter said, our next meeting after tonight will be September 17th. Okay, and then old business. There is a written report from Barb about the Disability Resource Expo in here. And at this time, you have any board announcements? Okay, if not, the next item on our agenda will be our discussion at the very back here. It's kind of like a pseudo study session that we're going to have with the DD board. So Peter will talk about the topic, and after we finish that, then we will adjourn our meeting, okay?
I would mention that we did get a call from Joyce Dill, one of our board members on the Developmental Disability Board side, and she is ill, so she will not be here. I don't know about, I think Michael Smith is planning to come, but we should get started. I just thought it would be good to give a little bit of an overview again of what the purpose of this RFP was and what we were trying to accomplish. And it really has to do with the fact that we have a lot of people that live in Champaign County and their families that have awards from the state that will pay for a CILA placement, which is a community integrated living arrangement, and there is no capacity. There are no vacancies, so we have people from our county that have family members that are in CILAs that are, you know, long distances from Champaign County. And we've been hearing about that for over a year. People have been coming to our board meetings, and I think that basically there's a general feeling, we haven't made it policy, but the general feeling is that people from Champaign County ought to have an option in Champaign County, period. So that's what's behind this. And in order to expand the CILA capacity, the RFP proposes to purchase, what we're proposing is to purchase four houses that the successful bidder would describe how they would be providing the CILA services for four people or less. That is the standard. For those of you, I wanted to remind the Developmental Disability Board members that we had the minutes from Tony Record's visit, which you hadn't seen, I guess, before, and that's in front of you. But I'll remind you that the standard of the Liggus consent decree is four people or less in a CILA. He also commented that in several states, the standard for CILA is three people. Minnesota, for example, they will not allow a CILA for more than three people. Pennsylvania just passed a law, and this is all in the minutes, as I said. So the standard, we're taking that four-person standard, and that was what we were trying to accomplish with the RFP. So part of what we're doing is what we will be evaluating is what the agency's track record is in providing CILA services for four people in that kind of a setting. We're also going to be looking at how they propose to do the work. They have to be a licensed CILA provider in order to apply. At this point, we have the project is financed over a 10-year period. PNC Bank has given us, we have an agreement with them, no money down, and over a 10-year period with a fixed rate of about 4.3%. This represents roughly $50,000 for each board, which if you look at the total pool of money for developmental disabilities is about 2.8% of our total money that we contract out. I want to, at the last meeting we had, I wanted to tell the Mental Health Board that the Developmental Disability Board did pass and agree to participate as partners in this. And one of the things that we're going to have to do, and this is, we're not going to take action on this tonight, but I'll pass these out to you. This is an addendum. We have to do an addendum to the intergovernmental agreement between the two boards. So this is a draft of that. And basically what this says is that the two boards are partners in this project and that the they will share the costs and any equity in the homes at the time when the homes are sold will be split between the two boards, is generally what we're talking about doing there. So that is something we need to do. We've also amended the RFP. There were a number of questions that have come, and in the amendment we answered the questions. We also added the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board as a party to the RFP. We also identified areas in the triple net lease that needed to be revised, and we included those. And then the other thing is that we extended the closing date of the RFP to August 13th. It was originally scheduled to be July 1st. So we will, that will put a, make it a little tight for the evaluation committee, but I think that we have adequate time to come to a decision. If we have a problem with the decision, we can always, you know, extend the award date out if that's necessary. The major point that I want to make related to the RFP is that there are two parts of this. One is the purchase of the houses and the leasing of the houses to the provider. And then there's the service piece, the CILA services. And I want to be very clear that we do not pay for the services or the supports that people receive. That is the responsibility. The people that are in the home will have an award from DHS, and that award covers all of the costs related to the person being in the home. And we have specific language in the contract which clearly states that, there are essentially four provisions. One is that the obligation that we have is the purchase of the home and the leasing of the home. We have no responsibility related to the services. We are held harmless for any liability related to the homes, and we are held harmless related to any liability that the service provider related to the provision of services, which is exactly the same as the hold harmless and the that we have related to any contracts that we have. This is really no different than any other contract that we have in that regard. So anyway, there's a variety of those things. The provider has to be licensed. The other thing I would remind people about that maybe we weren't clear about before is that as a licensed CILA provider, they have to meet the licensing requirements of the state, and the homes are inspected and have to be, you know, there's a whole procedure. So there's a lot of oversight that comes from the Division of Developmental Disabilities related to the program side, but they also look at the houses also. So at this point, that's kind of your basic overview. I've talked about all this before. I think that the idea of tonight's meeting was that we wanted to have an opportunity for the two boards to just be able to talk about it, because the decisions were made separately, I guess we'll, with that introduction, we can open it to conversation.
Okay, why don't we set a few ground rules so in the interest of time, we could set a time limit on, and make sure that everybody gets a chance to talk.
I think we told them it would start at 5:30.
Well, we said it would start 10 minutes after, but we were gonna, okay. We said no later than 5:30.
Okay.
Are you suggesting that we recess for
take
a few minutes?
Break, yeah.
I'm fine to recess for a few minutes.
I think that's a good idea, because I think Mike particularly wants to talk about it, so.
We have a recess until 5:30.